evening.
Good evening.
We seem to be having this issue, don't we?
I'm sorry, I have you kind of low. You'll have to repeat it. Tony's going to bed, and I didn't want to wake him, so I put my sound up a little bit louder.
What I had said was that we seem to be having this issue about people not coming, but I've heard another...
I'm here.
I'm glad you are, so we can have our class.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking up some issues on David and Bathsheba and in Samuel, and they said there was a Talmudic passage that explained about that. Does it also? I seem to remember, and I was trying to look up about the fact that Jewish men that went off to war wrote out a get in case they were lost or not found?
Correct.
Okay.
Because if they were lost or not found, then their wives would become chained. Aganaz. Aganot.
Well,
if you don't know that the husband died, there was no way they could become remarried to someone else.
Well, does that happen? Was that the normal thing that all Jewish men did when they went off to war?
Yes.
So Uriah did that?
Yes.
So I understand everything that was said in the earlier class.
Good. And I'm glad you did your own research. That's excellent.
So I had another friend that was...
Go ahead. I thought you were finished.
I had another friend that was listening. And they are not Jewish. And sometimes a lot of things happen in Jewish faith that other people don't understand. And there were rules and regulations written down, like when men went off to war, they wrote out a get in case they were lost or not found so that their wives would not be tied. And so I can't remember if I understand why Uriah was killed. And I understood that he had a 50-50 chance and God had a hand in it, and that's why he died. I understand all of that. So because Bathsheba had a get, did that make, and I understand that she was his soulmate, David's soulmate. So the legality of it, even though he was king, does that somehow, I mean, like he would have the divorce?
Well, she was a divorced woman when he was intimate with her.
Okay, so how was she divorced? She was divorced from Uriah because she had the get.
Correct.
Okay. And she had to do what the king wanted her to do.
Well, I understand that.
That's why I call it the letter of the law against the spirit of the law.
No, it's Bathsheba never had to do what the king wanted her to do. There was a mutual attraction. But Uriah was told by the king, go into her, because she had become pregnant by the king. And if Uriah came back from war and Bathsheba was pregnant, Uriah would know that she would have been unfaithful to him while he was at war. Because the get was conditional. The get was not divorced now. The get was, if I don't come back, you're divorced.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you wouldn't happen to know where in the Talmud that's what section it says? It explains that?
No, because I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert in the Talmud, so I don't know.
Well, I was trying to prove my point.
Somewhere I have notes from that seminar that we went to right after our conversion. I think it was that first summer. That was when it was taught by Chabad. But I've also read that, and I know you just said what you did about the Shiva, but I did read a source that said she, and yes, I'm sure she was attracted to him too, because he was very beautiful, they used to say. They even described him as beautiful, with his red hair and all. But that she as well wouldn't have said no to the king.
Okay, well, that got me to a point. I'll just have to do a little bit more research.
Okay.
Thank you.
Try the Jewish Study Bible. It might be in that one. It might be in the Jewish Study Bible.
Okay.
Also, it might actually be in Wikipedia as well. There's a lot of things that have found their way into it.
See, you think we don't even listen to what you say, but I listen all the time. I just don't say much.
I know you're listening, but without a question, we don't really reveal the material, and that's what I'm after is questions. But if they don't occur to you, they don't occur to you. It's okay, but this time it did, and that's a good sign.
But I don't like being the only one when nobody says anything.
I know, but you always come up
a little bit unfair, you know.
You always come up with good things, though.
But that's only because she's done the research herself. That's why when some people said she's got this background of the research. Speaking of Chana, I don't mean to speak of you in the third person, Chana.
Right. I understand.
So the more you learn, the more you do the research, you know, these things become clearer.
I told her not long ago when she told me she saw the word for Hadar was this, you know, for the Etrog was the same as one of the kings. And I said, now you're beginning to see. When you do your own research, that's something no one can take away from you.
Correct.
And you build on it, and you build on it, and you build on it. Every Hebrew word you learn, you may not remember the details, but it'll come back to you when you see it again. And some things you just won't forget because you have done the research. And then when your tongue is kind of tied and you can't explain it to somebody, it means they're not ready to hear it.
That's a good thing.
That it is. So I'm going to do the Ari's essay today, but I'm not going to do the preliminary material completely. Because of time. I'm very happy that we've used up the time we've used in answering those questions. So.
Well, thank you.
So please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa, Gedula Chimin. you'll see. Bene avla la doto ka cherberishona. We're now going to connect to the Ani meditation, starting with Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hei, yo aheni wa yo hei, yo aheni wa yo hei, yisod, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, hod, yu ahuni wu yo hu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Yavura. Yeah, me we yoch. Yeah, me we yoch. Yeah, me we yoch. Chesed. Yeah, any way yo hair. Yeah, any way yo hair. Yeah, any way yo hair. Bina. Yeah, any way yo hey. Yeah, any way yo hey. Yeah, any way yo hey. Achma, ya honey wa yo ha, ya honey wa yo ha, ya honey wa yo ha. Keter, ya honey wa yo ha, ya honey wa yo ha, ya honey wa yo ha. And tonight's class is a class from the Ari. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. That will open up a landing page with the whole series of the Ari's essays. If you scroll down to Parashat Noah, the second link is titled Mystical Intentions. That will be our handout for tonight, and I'll start in about 30 seconds. Kabbalah explains the mystical roots of the waters of the Great Flood. The water prevailed 15 cubits above, and the mountains were covered. Thus, during the flood, the highest mountaintop was submerged 15 cubits. Let us understand why the mountaintops were submerged 15 cubits. No more and no less. Furthermore, once the Torah says that the water prevailed 15 cubits above, why must it say that the mountains were covered? This is implied by the word above. It is enough to say simply that the water prevailed 15 cubits above the mountains. What is gained by saying that they were covered? The answer: the sin of the generation of the flood was wasteful emission of seed. It is known that this act causes above the same thing, namely that the drop of divine beneficence issues from the male, Zeranpin, without being posited in the female, the Nukva. Rather, it is captured by the forces of evil. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. Before the flood, wasting seed was rampant. The verb to corrupt in Hebrew, hashechet, also means to waste. Thus, the phrase, for all flesh had corrupted, can also mean for all flesh had wasted its way on the earth. This immediately evokes the story of Judah's son, Onan, where we are told when he engaged in marital relations with his dead brother's wife, he wasted it on the earth in order not to give seed to his brother. The verse describing the state of the earth before the flood thus indicates that wasting seed was rampant. The earth refers to the supernal earth, which was destroyed. And in what did its destruction consist? That all the flesh had destroyed, i.e., that the supernal yesod, which is termed all, had destroyed its way on the earth and not in the nukva. Earth is an appellation for nukva in the malchut, which receives the seed of Zeronpin and develops into fruition and expression. In the verse, to you, O God, is the greatness, gedulah, a synonym for chesed, and the might, gevurah, and the beauty, tiferet, and the victory, netzach, and the majesty, hod, for all referring to yesod, that is in heaven and earth. To you, O God, is the dominion, mamlacha, a synonym for malchut. Yesod is referred to as all because all the divine beneficence of the preceding Sephirot flows into it and through it to Malchut. In the verse quoted, Yesod is described as positing its seed on the earth, on the surface of the earth, rather than in the earth. In this way, the Nukva was destroyed, for it could not elevate feminine water at all. Therefore, God brought the flood upon them. When the masculine water mates with her, the states of Givurah are sweetened. Since the flow from Yesod was directed toward the forces of selfishness and evil, rather toward the Nukva, Nukva could not elicit the flow of divine beneficence toward it. Elevating feminine water is the allegorical term for arousing or eliciting the flow from above. Normally, Nukva can elevate her feminine water, which is states of Givurah. And when the masculine water mates with her states of Givurah in her feminine water, the states of Givurah are sweetened. As we have seen previously, the feminine principle is constructed out of states of Givurah, since it needs to be very judgmental in order to interface with the material world, which is a priori antithetical to godliness. In order that these states of Givurah not leave her with an entirely negative attitude, she must periodically mate with the male principle, in which chesed predominates. This mitigation of Nukva's Givurah states by Zeronpin's chesed states is termed sweetening the Givurah. This is the meaning of to work it, which according to the sages refers to the active mitzvot, or by performing the active mitzvot, we draw down masculine water upon us, and to guard it refers to the passive mitzvot, which guarded the garden so that evil could not attach itself. And God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. The sages comment, to work it refers to the active mitzvot, while to guard it refers to the passive mitzvot. Here the active mitzvot elicit the masculine water, while the passive mitzvot are feminine water. The passive mitzvot are clearly associated with Givurah, the judgmentality that guards the garden from intrusion by forces antithetical to God's consciousness. And in the present case, that of the world before the flood, there was no masculine water at all. Rather, there was only severe states of judgment. Unable to be sweetened by mating with masculine water, which was diverted into the forces of evil by the sin of wasting seed, the feminine Givurah states remained in their full force. This predominance of Givurah in the world precipitated the flood. The five states of judgment are the five letters of the name Elohim. It is known that the five states of judgment are the five letters of the name Elohim, and that they originate in the hay of this name. Each of these states of Givurah comprises 10 sublevels. This is the significance of the hey yud in the name Elohim, meaning 5 times 10. The name Elohim, we know, is associated with the left axis of the Sephirot, that of Givurah. The Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, Netzachot of this name are inter-included of 10 sub-Sephirot, each giving 50 total sub-states of Givurah. The numerical value of the letters Hey and Yud are 5 and 10, respectively. These are the 15 cubits of water depth that ascended above the highest mountaintop. The 15 cubits alludes to the 5 and the 10 of the name Elohim. The water is the feminine water mentioned above, which the Hey Yud had been withdrawn, leaving Aleph Lamed Mem of Elohim. The states of Givurah within the feminine water, as stated, could not be sweetened by the masculine water and form part of the harmonious functioning of the masculine and feminine principles. So they separated from the feminine water and assumed a life of their own, so to speak. The 15 cubits of water alludes to the absence of these two, the hay and the yud, states of Givurah from the feminine water. This is the mystical meaning of the word above, for it can be read to mean above the hay, referring to the states of Givurah that were withdrawn above the hay, above the feminine water. These states of Givurah ascended above her head to the level of the upper third of Tiferet of Zeranpin. We have seen previously that the Nukva is positioned initially such that the top of her head is level with the line dividing the upper third of Zeranpin's Tiferet from its lower two-thirds. This simply means that the Nukva expresses directly only the lower midot of Zeranpin. Chesed, Givurah, and the upper third of Tiferet are the pure midot. The midot oriented towards external expression are the lower two-thirds of Tiferet, Netzach and Hod. Yesod and Malchut are technically the drive toward in the means of expression of the midot, rather than being midot proper. The upper third of Tiferet is the intellect of Tiferet. The lower two-thirds of Tiferet are the Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod of Tiferet. The intellect of any Sephirah is oriented chiefly towards its source in the Sephirot above it, while the midot of that Sephirot are oriented chiefly outwards and downwards towards expression in the realms below it. They continued to ascend to the level of Chesed and Givurah, which are called the mountains, as opposed to Netzach and Hod, which are called the hills. Mountains can be envisioned as protrusions from the earth, the expression of the earth's desire or tendency to reach beyond itself. Thus, the midot oriented outward toward external reality are protrusions of the partsuf outward. Since the intensity of consciousness is greater in chesed and givurah than it is in netzach and hod, the former are called mountains relative to the latter, which are called hills. As is known, in the generation of the flood, Zeron Pin and Mount Milkva were back to back. This is alluded to by the two words mountain, mountain, whose numerical values are that of the name Elohim, in regression, plus 5 for the value of the 5 letters of the name. Because of the sins of the generation, Zeron Pin and Nukva could not face each other. Because of the sins of the generation, Zeron Pin and Nukva could not face each other. They were not oriented toward mutual cross-fertilization, as we mentioned above. The word for mountain is Har, spelled Hey Resh, which is a gematria of 205. The regression of the name Elohim, spelled Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem, is Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed Hey, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem. The numerical value of this regression is 200. Thus we see that the back-to-back state of Zeron Pin and Nukva, alluded to by the mountains of Chesed and Givurah being submerged in the water, alludes in turn to the regression of the name Elohim, withdrawal of the divine beneficence indicated by this name from reality. Thus the Nukva state of Givurah ascended to this level. It is known that at this level is where Yesod of Ima reaches and stops and is revealed, and that the source of the Nukva states of Givurah is in Yesod of Ima. Yesod of Ima, as we know, is the drive within the intellect for expression. It descends to the level of Chesed and Givurah of Zeron Pin, for that is as far as the intellect can descend and act as the motivating force behind the expression of the emotions. That is, Chesed and Givurah of Zeron Pin are the lowest levels that sustain any memory of the intellect that spawned them. Subsequent levels must take the inspiration of the intellect, but forget the idea itself in order to concentrate on getting the conclusion of the idea out into the world. Ima, the partsuf of Bina, is associated with the left axis of the Sephirot, and thus its drive towards expression is the source of the Givurah aspect of the Nukva. This is the meaning of the Zohar statement that in the flood, the lower waters mixed with the upper waters. The meaning is also that the states of Givurah in her reign mixed with the states of Givurah in Ima. The flood was the immersion of the world in the original intellect, or idea, that gave rise to it. In the flood, the Givurah states of Nukva could not, as we saw, be sweetened by her husband Zeron Pin. So they had to return to their source in their mother, Ima, to be rectified. Thus, the flood was the immersion of the world in the original intellect or idea that gave rise to it in order to renew it. True, this was a purification process, just as a return to the original intellectual construct that gave rise to one's emotional makeup is a purifying experience. However, such a flood of renewing energy can also be destructive, destroying the imperfect, corrupt, degenerate emotional makeup of the world that was spawned by that idea but developed along selfish lines. This is probably why most people tend to avoid facing the real issues in life. Tracing the threads of our existence back to their source offers the promise of renewal, purification, and rejuvenation. But the price is the potential destruction of the world or the civilization we have carefully constructed to serve our own ends. This is the mystical meaning of the verse. All the wellsprings of the abyss split open, referring to the states of Givorah in Rachel, and the storehouses of heaven were open, referring to Yesod Bima, located in heaven, the top third of the Tiferet. In this context, the lower waters, the abyss, are the feminine waters of the Nukva, and the upper waters, the storehouses of heaven, are the waters of Yesod Bima. Heaven is often associated with Tiferet as contrasted to earth, which indicates Malchut. The words four and the storehouses may be seen as 15 plus 200, referring to the 200 regressive manifestations of the name Elohim. The rest of the letters, together with the Kolel, are 15. And these are the 15 letters of the regression of Elohim. The phrase, and the storehouses of heaven were open, is composed of 15 letters. If we consider the ratio of the word for storehouses, in Hebrew, arubot, separately, this leaves 14 letters. 14 plus the kolel is 15. We saw above that the numerical value of the regression of the name Elohim is 200. And if we count the letters used in this regression, we see that they are 15 in number. 200 is the numerical value of the letter Resh. This is the mystical significance of the word for flood. In Hebrew, Mabul. They issue via the back of Zeron Pin, for that is where the regressions, the backs of the names Ab, Sad, and Ma, are situated. These use 26 letters. 3 times 26 gives 78, the numerical value of the word for flood, Mabul. The word used for regression in the text is acharayim, which literally means back. We are bidden to visualize the name facing away from us, returning upward to its source. We first see the back of the first letter, then the first two, then the first three, and so on. The name Ab is spelled Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Yud Vav Yud Vav Hey Yud. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalet, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, Hey Yud. The name Sag is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalet, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. The name Ma is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. The regression of this name is Yud Vav Dalet, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. In each case, it can be seen that 26 letters are used in the regression. Mabul, meaning a flood, is spelled Mem Bet Vav Lamed, has a total of 78. The word for flood, Mabul, thus alludes to the withdrawal of the divine life force, indicating by these iterations of the name Havaya from the world. That's the end of the class. Does anyone have any questions? So everyone have a wonderful Shalom Gadol. Have a good week. We will speak to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Good night.